turn to the book of Matthew chapter 11. I stayed over yonder motel room as long as I could. I really didn't want to preach tonight because I don't have a camp meeting message. But I try to mind the Lord, and I know that's what Brother Sammy would have us to do. We're in a pitiful shape in our country. Our churches are in a mess. Marriages are in a mess. Dr. Robertson said everything falls and rises in leadership. I believe that. And I believe the problem in America is in the pulpit. I was praying this afternoon, and I said, "Oh, God, where are the Oliver B. Greens? Where are the Harold Sagers? The mantle's floating around somewhere. Someone ought to get a hold of it and ask God to raise them up and use them for the glory of God. We need some old-fashioned, leather-lined preaching again in this country. God gave Moses two things on the mountain. He gave him the law, and then he gave him the tabernacle. We need to preach the law. He gave them the law first for condemnation, and then he gave them the tabernacle for cleansing. We're trying to get men cleansed before they realize they're condemned. The old-fashioned preachers would not even book a meeting unless it was 2 weeks. Many of them did not even give an invitation the first week. And they'd preach until they were guilty and condemned and convicted, and then they gave them an invitation to get saved. I want you to take your Bibles tonight and turn into the book of Matthew chapter number 11. I've got a message I preach out of this, but I was preaching in a meeting somewhere last year, and I come across a statement in this chapter. It just kind of jumped off the pages at me. And I went back to the motel room and began to do a little study on it. Notice what it says in Matthew 11, verse number 7. "And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind?" The way a lot of preachers are when they stand in front of their congregation. Amen. I don't have to get along with them. They have to get along with me. "But what went ye out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. But this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied unto John." Let's go to God in just a moment of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come tonight with trembling hearts, and Lord, we come tonight with a real burden. I pray, God, tonight, Lord, we're not interested in wasting time or just going through some routine. But God, we need to hear from heaven. And I claim Luke 11 and 13 for the power of God tonight. Lord, we realize tonight it takes the power of God to change men's hearts. Lord, please help us tonight. And we'll give you the glory and we'll give you the praise. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I want to show you what, you know, you read scriptures and then one day it just seems like a verse just jumps off the pages. The Bible said here in verse number 9, here's our text. "But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I save you, and here it is, and more than a prophet. More than a prophet. I want to deal with that subject tonight. More than a prophet. Now, in a way of interjection, John the Baptist is in prison. And he sends two of his disciples to ask, "Art thou he that should come? Or do we look for another?" A lot of explanations, if you studied that passage, a lot of people say that John the Baptist doubted. That may be a right interpretation. Some say that John did this for the sake of his disciples, because they were probably doubting because John was in the prison. But I was reading W.A. Criswell made a statement. He said John may have been puzzled, because you see, the Old Testament had pictured Jesus as a suffering servant, but he also pictured him as a reigning king. And John had seen Jesus as a servant, but he had not seen him as a king. And Jesus said, "Go tell John that what I'm doing," and he went back and told John what the Lord was doing, and John knew it was the works of both the Messiah and the king. Jesus praises John the Baptist, and it can all center around that statement in verse number 9, that John was more than a prophet. That word "more," if you do a word study on it, it means that he excelled more than all the other prophets. It meant that he was superabundant. It meant that he was superior. It meant that he went beyond in quality and number and degree and character. John was more than a prophet. Now, I believe that is a message to preachers, but I believe it's also a message to believers that strive to excel. I share the death that we are so mediocre and we are so satisfied with a norm that we ought to have something inside of us, a holy dissatisfaction and a holy discontent with the norm. It seems like the normal has become abnormal. We are so subnormal that the normal seems to be abnormal. That if somebody just lives clean and that does right, everybody thinks they're super saints instead of just being a Christian. Amen? Well, the Bible says here that John was more than a prophet. I want to preach on 2 or 3 or 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 things tonight about John and how that he was more than a prophet. I want to say that he was a prophet in character. Character is what you are when nobody is around. Anybody can be spiritual at Faith Baptist Temple. I want to know, what do you do when you go back home when there's nobody around? Preachers, what do you do when you get your pulpit? Well, the Bible said that he was more than a prophet in character, more excellent in stability. In verse 7, the Bible said, he said, "What went you out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind?" Now, this is not John Clinton. This is John the Baptist. Yeah, and John didn't stick his finger in the air to see which way the wind was blowing before he got up and began to preach his message. Well, you see, when the wind of poplar pendant, a poplar falls on the one hand blue, fresh, and fair, or when the storm of Harris rage on the other hand grew blustering and fierce, guess what John did? He preached the same message. It didn't matter if he was in the palace or in the poorhouse. He preached the same message. Isn't it amazing how some preachers change their message with the crowd that they're preaching to? It makes me wonder sometimes if they don't carry two Bibles. Amen. I'm just simply saying that God was the same everywhere he went. I see some preachers, when they're at one camp, they'll preach on sin. But when they're another calf, they preach on glory. That's amazing how they learn the psychology of how to book a meeting. That's amazing to me how today's evangelist or pastor will preach on adultery and fornication and divorce and the qualification of a preacher until their son gets into sin. Until their friend gets into sin. Or somebody in their clique gets into sin. Can I say sin is wrong? No matter who it is at any time. I've seen preachers just blast a preacher when he got in sin because he weren't in their clique. But when a preacher sinned in their clique, they begin to excuse it and to sweep it under the rug. You don't preach for a double married preacher, do you? Hey, you don't have a double married preacher in your pulpit, do you? Amen? Hey, I want to say, you know what the Bible said? The Bible still says that the bishop shall be the husband of one wife. And it didn't say the bishop, it said a bishop. That means it's the bishop of every generation. It's not to have two wives. And that don't mean one at a time either. That's an indefinite article indicating that the character of the man is stressed. That means married once. That means to have some self-control. That means to be a one-wife man. In fact, Alfred in his Greek New Testament said that polygamy was not known in the early church, much less in the pulpit. Amen. I probably won't preach in Florida, but I'm going to preach it anyway. Amen. Amen. At least be consistent. Come on, help me out a little bit. Hey, this is not a Lutheran camp meeting, is it? Hey, man. Hey, we need some Carl Lackeys come back to life. Amen. Hey, we need some men to get up and preach this book straight and not blow with every wind of doctrine that comes around. The testimony that he is born to the Lord Jesus Christ was not the testimony of a reed. Of a man who had one mind one today, had another mind tomorrow. That was not weather vane testimony, but it was constant. Hey, I know a lot of evangelists and pastors that are chameleons. They change colors with the preachers that they hang around. They switch colors with the crowd that they're with. I've seen it right here. I've seen people that agreed with Sammy Allen. But they go somewhere else and they would agree with Peter Reckman. I've seen people come down here that say they believe all the Bible. And then when they get with the ultra-dispensationalist crowd, they say Hebrews through Revelation. That's not for the church age. You're not like that, are you? Amen. Hebrews 10:25 said, not forsake the assembling ourselves together. Hey, if that's for the tribulation saints, what are they going to do about Hebrews 10:25? Amen. Somebody will get their head out of the sand and sue their brain for non-support. But you're a double-minded coward that runs with any crowd, anywhere, just as long as they'll let you preach. I'm not much, but I'm more than that. I'm not much, but I'm more than that. Hey, when I die, I want somebody to come by my test and say, well, there's one thing about Brother Simpson, you knew where he stood. I'm not much, but I'm more than that. Amen. That's amazing how people come down to Brother Sam and they'll dress for the right and then they'll get with the Southern Baptist crowd. They'll dress any way they want to dress. Hey, I want to say something. I'm glad I came out of that. I came out of that crowd in 1972 and I'm not going back yet. Now, I don't understand preachers that'll preach for independence, claim to be independent, that lock up with that Southern Baptist crowd. Amen. I'm not much, but I'm more than that. Amen. Amen. come down here and you'll believe that a sinner is born with a sin nature. And then you'll get through the crowd in Virginia and you'll tell people that you hadn't sinned in a month. I had a fella said he could look at a naked woman and not lust. I checked his wrist to see if his lip handed. Come on now. Amen. I want to say something. I ain't lived a perfect day since I got saved. But I haven't lived a day that the Holy Ghost didn't rebuke me or remind me or encourage me. Amen. Thank God the Bible said that we was born in iniquity. And in sin did our mother conceive us. I'm not much, but I'm more than that. Amen. Amen. There's nothing lost in the long run by an unshaken resolution just going with God. Hey, you know what I want to say? I want to see somebody be the same today as they were 10 years ago. Hey, my children and grandchildren, I need some preacher somewhere to preach that drug and not wobble on the axle, but preach sin and black and hell hot, heaven beautiful. Amen. Come on now, help me out. You're not a bunch of whisker pagans, are you? Amen. Hey, I'm not much, but I'm more than that. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible said he was more excellent in character. Boy, we need some character in the pulpit. Hey, we need some men in the pulpit that'll pay their bills. You don't owe me any money, do you? I've got preachers owe me money. You think I'm going to listen to that bird preach? You think I'm going to recommend him to a church somewhere? Hey, listen, I'll tell you something. If you don't have any character, you have no reason to stand behind the pulpit. Amen. The Bible said he was more than a prophet. The Bible said that he excelled in character. Number two, he excelled in style. The Bible said in verse number 8, but what went you out for to see? More a man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft raiment are in king's houses. The church is not a fashion parade. I believe the man of God ought to be a little different from the rest of the crowd. I believe you ought to polish your shoes there once in a while. Amen. That's right. I don't believe that you ought to walk around with your shirt unbuttoned, showing the one curly hair on your chest with a gold chain around your neck. Little bracelet on your wrist. Pull down your breeches. You probably got pantyhose on too. Amen. As the Bible said here, they that wear soft clothing are in king's houses. But when you went out here, John the Baptist, he had a raiment of camel's hair. He had a leather girdle about his loins. And his look and his habit showed that he was dead to the pomp of this world and the pleasures of this world. That's amazing how many preachers want a Cadillac, that they want a parsonage, that they want a big salary, that they could care less about a soul dying going to hell. Some of you preachers sitting on the front row of your church, just waiting around for your preacher to die. I know 10 churches out west right now that's waiting for a preacher, and you can't get that crowd to leave Carolina or Georgia or Virginia or the east to go as a pioneer. Where is that pioneer spirit? God did call you to preach, didn't he? Well, why don't you get off your blessed behind and get out here and start preaching, amen. Hello? I'm just simply saying that when you saw John, his clothing, they identified with the doctrine that he preached. And the doctrine that he preached was repentance. Now, if a preacher and his family are dressing like Ahab's and Jezebel, is that preacher preaching on repentance? If his wife looks like she just come from the beach, and if the man just like he come from the beauty parlor, well, that preacher preach on repentance. That's amazing that the way you dress identifies with the doctrine that you preach. Amen. Help me out a little bit. Amen. Will he have an evangelist to come in and preach on repentance? Well, we got the preachers and evangelists today. All they're concerned about is cash and clothes and cars. Amen. That's exactly right. I've had preachers, I go preach a meeting, they say, I need a car. I need a raise. I wasn't there to. That's not my job. Praise God. You know what I say? If you preach, they'd get you a car. If you preach, they'd give you a raise. Amen. Hey, I'm not going to go in and do some man's job for him. I tell you what you ought to do. Get your eyes off the cash. And get your eyes off the car. And get your eyes off the pastorian. And just run back and preach. Amen. Hello, Tokyo. Amen. I'm not much, but I'm more than that. I'll be preaching starting my 40th year this year. I'm starting my 40th year this year. I have never asked my church for a raise. I have never asked for a clothes. I have never asked for a collar. Have they took good care of me? Now, I want to tell you something. I believe it lowers the style and the character of the man of God when he's a beggar. We need a good course on Christian ethics in the pulpit. Amen. Amen. That's amazing, the style. I know a preacher that he's got two tracks. When they go out in Houston and they knock on the door and a black man comes to the door, they give him a track without their church name on it. And if a white man comes to the door, they give him a church track with their name and address and phone number on it. Hey, I'll say something. I don't believe that Jesus was a racist. I don't believe that Jesus was a racist. Amen. Now you say what you want to. Hey, you say, preacher, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. God didn't come to save the South. God didn't come to save the South, but Jesus died for the world. Amen. Jesus was not a racist. Hey, that's right. He was not a racist. Now, you say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm just saying that a lot of folks are in this for the wrong reason. I know some evangelists that have two date books. They have one date book, they're booked up for years if you're a young evangelist or a small church. But if you're a big name preacher and you got plenty of money, they could come next week. I know an evangelist that's preached down here. They canceled a meeting with a man in our town that take a revival meeting in a Southern Baptist church because he's going to get $4,500. I'm not much, but I'm more than that. Amen. Listen, I preached in the city churches, and I preached in the country churches. I preached when they gave me a big offering. I preached when they gave me a little offering. But I want to tell you, the size of the church and the size of the church has never determined where I'm going to preach. And if it does you, I'm telling you, you ought to get out of the ministry. You're a shame and disgrace. It's no wonder we can't have revival. Hey, I'm not much, but I'm more than that. Hello, Tokyo. Amen. I'm telling you, the Bible said, Jesus, He said, there's never been a greater than John the Baptist. He was more than a prophet. He excelled. He went above whatever everybody else did. I've seen evangelists have these signs not for sale, but they'd go and preach in a non-denominational, charismatic, Pentecostal church in my hometown. They're not for sale because they've already sold out. You can't sell something that you don't have any longer. Amen. I'm not much, but I'm more than that. Amen. I've noticed that those that live a life of mortification and a life of sacrifice are least likely to be driven off from their church by persecution. When you're preaching for Jesus, it doesn't matter if they like it or love it. It doesn't matter if they pout or shout. It doesn't matter if they give or they run. If you're preaching for His glory and for the good of mankind, and you're more than a prophet. You say, preacher, what have you been trying to say? For the last few minutes, I'm just saying that we ought to rise above the norm. I say we need a generation of preachers that have some character, that have some style, that hold a higher a position than the rest of the world. I've noticed that when I preach this high, my church lives here. When I preach this high, my church lives here. When I preach this high, my church lives here. Your church will never come up with the estimate that you give, but thank God they'll live higher than they would have lived if you hadn't had a high standard. What you do not preach is what your church is going to be full of. What you do not preach is what your church will be full of. What is your church full of? I go to church and I see these little girls running around with these halter tops on. And I see them with these sprayed on blue jeans. And I see them with these tight skirts. And I know that man of God is silent in the pulpit. We need somebody more than that. Yes, sir. I'm simply saying that the preacher must not affect to look like a king. Amen. I'm simply saying that appearance is not the anointing. I heard a preacher preach about buying a shirt for $600. And I thought about a missionary that could be supported for 12 months, $50 a month, with what that preacher was preaching for, was paying for his shirts. Why not go down to Walmart and buy a shirt for $13 and take the $487 and put it in the mission fund? Hello, amen. Hey, I'm not much, but I'm more than that. I'm glad my wife don't look like Tammy. And thank God I sure don't look like Jim, amen. I see some preachers' wives, they look like walking harlots. I know preachers' wives that have breast implants. I know preachers' wives that have breast lifts. I want to say something. Who are we dressing for anyway? I want to say something. We ought to dress godly and modestly in this present world. And we ought not to come and dress for men that are dressed for our husband. What are you dressing up? Who are you trying to attract? I'm not much, but I'm more than that. He was more in character. He was more in style. He said here, he was more in his sermon too. The Bible said in verse number 9, but what went you out for to see a prophet? Yeah, I said to you, have more than a prophet. Better than Kenneth Copeland. More excellent in his sermon. Hey, you know what the office of a prophet was? It was to speak the word from God without reservation or respect to persons. You know what I found out? We need to preach on sin. We ought to name sin. Because the people are right, that are right with God, they like it. And the people are not right with God, they need it. That's 100%. Amen? Hey, we need to preach sin so hard. Hey, I preached Sunday morning. In fact, my family got on me about it. They said I preached too rough. My family said that. Amen? And I preached one of those shotgun sermons. 726 sins in the Bible. I tried to preach on every one of them. Amen. Are you listening to me? Hey, I preached. We had 6 kids killed in our community by their parents. 3 parents killed 2 kids within 2 or 3 weeks there in Charlotte, North Carolina, Monroe, North Carolina. And I preached on parents that are killing their kids. And I said a lot of parents wouldn't have killed their kids physically, but they'd kill them mentally. And they'd kill them morally. And they'd kill them spiritually. Amen? And I preached the heart and made myself mad. And I tell you, I gave the invitation. I had people in the altar getting right with God. And we came back last Sunday night. And I didn't even get to preach. They run the aisle. They shouted, hey, old-fashioned hellfire, sin-killing, devil-disturbing preacher. Well, not heard a good church. Hell, sanctify that church. And they appreciate it. Amen. Amen. I told them, hey, we're not going to a pool party. And we're not going to the beach. We're going to the house of God. And I said, I want some standard at the house of God. We're going to meet the King. Amen. I'm not much, but I'm more than that. Amen. Hey, we're to preach the Word of God without reservation, respect for person. We've got too many apologists today. I was preaching one time and one of my members brought his buddy to church, and when he got out on the porch, he said, the preacher didn't mean you. I found out about it that night. I said, I'm telling you right now, big boy, I meant you and I meant him. I meant the man on the front pew and the back pew. I said, I meant the ones in the nursery. Hey, I'm not preaching that crowd in Australia. I'm preaching that crowd in Brightline. I'm apologizing to nobody. Amen. We've got too many compromisers. I used to preach like that. I've learned better. You didn't learn better. You're a stinking compromiser. I've got 3 earned doctorate degrees, and I'm telling you what's true. I'm not going to let it ruin me, because I got in an old-fashioned leather-lined preacher. Well, I know that that's what'll get the job done. I believe you ought to have some class. I believe you ought to learn how to articulate the Word of God. But I tell you, we cannot get by preaching against sin. We've got too many entertainers that know how to pull the crowd, that know what buttons to push. Too many entertainers. We need some exposers. Would anybody out there agree with me tonight that we've got more sin in our church than we ever had in our life? And yet we have less preaching at revival meetings and Bible conferences and camp meetings. I'm telling you, when I got saved, I used to go to Camp Zion. That was a Southern Baptist camp. But I tell you what, on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, that skin your hide. Southern Baptist. Had those Southern Baptists preached more on sin than independence do that. Now we've got expositors. And we expound the Word of God so we can get by the issue. I believe in exposition. I've written 97 books on exposition. I believe in exposition. Amen. But I want to tell you something that's true. A preacher ought to know his sheep. And when one of his sheep come in there, well, not enough wool on, he ought to forget about the exposition and start exposing the nakedness of that sheep. When that sheep comes in with a poisonous weed in his mouth, it's not time for exposition. It's the time to start preaching on cigarettes and snuff and halter tops and shorts and all them things. Hey, that's what independent Baptists were built upon. That's old-fashioned preaching of sin. And God blessed us, and God sent revival, and God filled our storefront buildings, and God sent us a packed church. And then guess what we did? Which way is the wind blowing? Entertainers. We've got too many performers. We've got too many that are catering to the crowd. We've got too many psychologists like the Standys and the Swindolls. We've got too many plagiarizers that get on the internet and get a sermon to preach on Sunday morning instead of getting out in the woods somewhere and putting your head in a bush and getting a message from God. Hey, your congregation does not need a sermon. They need a message. They need a message. When's the last time that you got a message from heaven for your church? We've got too many liars in the pulpit. We've got too many exaggerators. We've got too many cussers in the pulpit. They, some men tell so many illustrations they'd have to live 200 years to experience everything they tell. And you hear them in a different revival meeting and the illustration has got bigger and better. That's lying. Amen. I'm not much, but I'm more than that. I want to tell you, Jesus never beat the H out of anybody. There is no place in the pulpit for gutter language. I've heard some of the greatest preachers in America, B.R. Lincoln, Percy Ray, Dr. Harold Seitler, Sammy Allen, and I've never heard of one time use a word, a curse word, a defaming word, a word that would embarrass you, or a word that you'd whip your children over if they said. I'm not much, but I'm more than that. Amen. Amen. He was more than a prophet in his character. He was more than a prophet in his commendation. More excellent in his call. I want to say he was called of God. He was anointed. He was anointed. I heard Brother Milford Biddle, he was talking one day, and he made a statement I'd never forget. He said, when there's a calling, there is an anointing. If there is no anointing, there is no calling. Some of you got a conviction instead of a call, and you can't preach your way out of a red paper bag. Once you turn in your life, says, go sell cars. If you were called, there'd be an anointing. No anointing, no calling. When I got saved, the young preachers that surrendered to preach, I mean, they hit the pulpit of preaching. Amen? They didn't know too much, but they're sure excited about what they did know. They didn't know too much, but they got their head somewhere in a closet that prayed for the power of God, and God used them and made a preacher out of them. I believe in education, but education is not the sword. Education will sharpen the sword, but the sword is the anointing of the Spirit of God upon that word when you preach it. Some of you ought to get out of it. Some of you think the being a preacher is easy. Being a pastor is easy. All you do is just sit around, drink coffee, and eat donuts and go to the hospital about once a week, get you a golden nugget, pull a sermon outline there, and you sit around and you weigh 500 pounds. I tell you, couch potato, why don't you get out of the pulpit and get out there in the world and get you a job? Amen. He was more excellent in his calling. He was more excellent in his commission. John was more excellent than all the Old Testament prophets because he not only pointed out the Christ, but he saw him. Isaiah said, a virgin shall conceive. But John said, I saw him. John said, behold the Lamb of God. Can I say something? Can I say something tonight? Bob Jones Sr. said, I'd rather have a man that said, I seen something, who had seen something, than to correctly say, I saw something that had never seen anything. I'm telling you what's the truth, that a lot of folks got behind the pulpit and they never got in touch with the Holy God. Ain't something about getting under the spout where the glory comes out. They just something about getting along with God until God is more real to you than anything else in the world. I'm telling you, God said, I saw him. Amen. A lot of people have never seen him in reality. Listen, can I say a lot of people are quitting in the midst of persecution? There's a lot of preachers quitting. You know what I say? Hallelujah! I'm glad they did! They didn't have anything. I asked Dr. Ray one time, I said, Dr. Ray, what do you think about all these preachers smoking? What do you think about all these preachers fornicating? What do you think about all these preachers that are dressing worldly? I thought he'd give me a real long explanation. He said, they're not saved. Hey, if you can quit, will you please quit so to help the rest of us out? Amen. Hey, we could keep some of our members if you weren't pastoring down the road, smoking your cigarette, wearing your shorts, going to the beach, pacing out of the NIV. Why don't you just quit? It helps some of us. Amen. I can shoot them while they're running just like I can when they're sitting. I preached a queer out of a church the other day. Amen. More excellent in his conduct. John preached repentance. Some preachers are not only not preaching repentance, but they're preaching against it. John preached militant preaching. He preached resisted preaching. There were some in John's day that ran and hid, but John didn't run. Didn't run and hid. We've got too many pussyfoot, ear scratching, back scratching, ear tinkling, pink tea and lemonade preachers that have no backbone whatsoever. Why don't you quit and let some woman have your pulpit? You sissy, you coward, amen. You limp-handed preacher. John said, I will resist. John preached redemption. And Jesus, John only had two messages. He preached repentance, and he preached for the redeemed. He simply preached, no John, no Jesus. Amen. I'm not much, but I'm more than this liberal preacher. He was more excellent in his conflict. John faced immaturity. He said, this generation is like a bunch of children. But he kept on going. John faced institutions. That crowd in that day, the religious crowd, hated him. And John faced insults. But John just kept on going. Amen. If you can quit, please do. I'd shout if you quit. Amen. You know what he said? There's never been a greater than John the Baptist. Greatness is not measured by appearance. Greatness is not measured by pulpit gymnastics. Greatness is not measured by personality and outward splendor. But greatness is measured when a man excels the crowd around him. You know what they tried to do to me down at the hospital? They tried to get me to wear a clergy tag. I said, I ain't wearing it. I don't even like to park in the clergy parking. And I'm thinking about getting anyone that says, old fashioned, hellfire, and brimstone preacher. Let's rise above. Let's excel above the gutter preaching and the gutless preaching this day. I'm not much, but I'm more than that.